Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Should have told you by now. But I can't find.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. I want to talk to you about capitalizing your business. Capitalizing your business doesn't just happen in the beginning. Every single company out there, every business in the world, new ones and those that are already operating, those that have been doing it, operating for a long, long time, must deal with capitalizing issues. But this is, it's especially true for the successful ones, because success begets growth, and growth requires capital. And if your company needs capital, as the owner, you're the one who has to get it. This is one of the big mysteries. This is one of the big surprises for a lot of small business owners. This one sentence here: the more you're successful, the more capital you're going to need. And as I'm going to talk to you about a little bit later in the, as we continue this discussion, you're going to see how some of, hopefully come to understand that and realize that, that as long as you're in business, you're never going to be able to stop focusing on acquiring capital. Webster says capital is any asset, tangible or intangible, that is held for long-term investment. And capital blended with cash flow is the financial fuel your company's engine uses to do a number of things, like purchasing equipment or technology or vehicles. You also need that lifeblood for that company's fuel for funding growth by purchasing in order to purchase inventory, to hire employees, to train them, and to finance receivables. It's also for reserves for those rainy days. When you think of the capital of your business, don't think of the cash in the bank, although that is part of it. Some of it is, I guess you could say. But the capital is your working capital, is your ability to withstand the tough times. How much of that have you got? And it's in inventory that's paid for. It's the part of your vehicle that's paid for. That's where the vehicle's still useful. It's still working. And the more you own of it yourself, that portion of the asset's value is your working capital. It could be a lot of different things. It could actually be an investment in people. If you've invested in the training of human beings, and they're still contributing and they're still giving you a return on that investment, that's in a lot of ways that's your working capital at work for you there. Let's talk about the three kinds of capital. The first one is investment capital. This is something that somebody puts into your business. It could be you. It could be somebody else. It's like buying stock in the stock market, except for one thing. When you make an investment in a small, closely held corporation like mine, probably like yours, there is no market for those shares. You can't go out onto the NASDAQ and buy or sell those shares. Therefore, you typically will not get your company, your money out, your capital out of the company until you sell or otherwise dissolve the company. So in a closely held company, capital invested stays in the company till it's either sold or dissolved. Consequently, most small businesses will have a very nominal amount of shareholder capital invested, typically in the $1,000 range, maybe as much as $10,000, and almost always this money will be made at the point of founding of the company. Now, as the company grows and gets bigger, this changes. This will change as people as you grow, because you may take on an investor if you have the opportunity to bring in a small business investment company or a venture capitalist or something like that. As you get a good bit bigger, that will change. But for millions and millions of small businesses, that won't change. The only invested capital in the company will be the money, the equity investment will be the money that you put in it at conception. The second area is retained earnings, the second area of capital, retained earnings. These are the profits that you have the discipline to leave in the company, profits you didn't take out as a salary or a big bonus or some other distribution. Of all the forms of capital, this is the best kind, retained earnings, because you got it the old-fashioned way. You earned it. Banker, I promise you, your banker will really like seeing retained earnings on your balance sheet, even more than equity capital, because it says two things. Your company had the ability to produce retained earnings by operating profitably. And number two, you individually, as the owner-manager, had the discipline to leave this capital in the company instead of distributing it. Very important point. Let's say that you had the ability, you have $20,000 you could distribute. And you said, hey, I could use that money. I'd like to have that. So you took it yourself. That's not retaining earnings. That's distributing the money. Or you said, okay, wait a minute. I'm getting ready to buy $50,000 worth of something, equipment or inventory or whatever. And you say, wait a minute. I'm going to leave that $20,000 in the company. Or wait a minute. How about this? Better than that. I'm going to take $5,000 because I've earned that. I'm going to give myself a little warm fuzzy here. I'm going to take $5,000. But then I'm going to put the other 15, leave it in the company. And now, instead of borrowing the entire amount of what I need to buy, the computers or the vehicles or the inventory or the finance growth through the receivables, I'm going to put $15,000 of the company's money into that. I'm going to have some working capital. That's money I won't have to borrow. You left it in the business. That's good, smart business. It's what your bankers will like. And I promise you, the day will come when you'll be happy that you did. We're going to take a break in just a few minutes. When we come back, we're going to talk about borrowed funds, which is the third area of capital that's a big deal for small business owners. I don't know what we would do without our bankers, would we? Because we don't have access to the capital markets. We can't go into the markets like the big companies can, the public companies who can go into the markets and borrow money or pledge warrants or rate, have a stock issue and an initial offering of stock. We can't do that. And so we have to borrow a lot of our working capital. I'm going to talk about that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with me. I'll be right back. We're back, 23 after, 800-531-3815. Let me remind you, Ron Zimke is going to be with us in just a few minutes, and he's going to talk to us about service, customer service, taking care of our customers. He is the co-author, along with Chip Bell, of a brand new book called Service Magic, The Art of Amazing Your Customers, and that's coming up in the next half hour. I want to continue our visit with talking about capitalizing your company, and I want to talk about borrowed funds. Earlier, I mentioned the two other kinds of capital, investment capital, which is direct equity that you put in the company, retained earnings, which is the profits that you earned and leave in the company instead of taking them out, and then you got the borrowed funds. And this is plain old debt, money you borrow from a bank or an individual. It's an excellent way to capitalize your company, and it's the thing that small business relies on. But there's one little annoying detail about borrowed money. Unlike investment capital or retained earnings, debt accrues interest to the lender and requires debt service, which is also known as payments, which creates an incremental drain on your company's cash flow. Your business has to be able to generate the cash flow to make these payments. If you can't, you shouldn't be asking for the loan. And you should know that if you can service the debt, before you get to the bank with your request, because what you don't want to have happen is you don't want your banker to break this news to you. That you don't want your banker telling you, I don't think you can cover this debt service. One of the individuals your company could borrow from is you. Instead of putting your money in the business in the form of invested capital, you could lend it to your company. You could A lot of times people have cash that they and their company needs the cash for growth or for to get them out of a tight spot or whatever, and they personally have the cash. Well, they personally have the ability to loan the money, or they could go get, you know, they could go get it somewhere. Well, instead of putting that money in the business in the form of an investment, which you can't take out until you sell or dissolve the company, loan the company your money. You be the bank. You get the interest. You get the repayment. You should repay yourself. But that's something you could do. The thing to remember is that borrowed money, thing that small business owners have to rely on the most. And it's just a fact of life. It's not something that we're going to be able to change. If you want to demonstrate that you practice sound management fundamentals, in my opinion, you should leave every nickel that you can in your business. You can think of it as paying yourself first. By taking care of your business now, it'll take care of you later. I said a minute ago that I talked about retained earnings being so great. If it's so great, why wouldn't everyone want to just focus on retained earnings? Why would anyone ever invest money or borrow money to capitalize a company? If retained earnings are so wonderful, why would I borrow money? Well, here's the bad news. Unfortunately, for most businesses, accumulating working capital through retained earnings is a slow process. And in today's marketplace especially, most businesses need working capital to fund their growth faster than their profits can accumulate it. And as you know, net profit in a lot of business before tax is in the single digits percentage-wise. It's anywhere from 4% of sales. And it's a very, very small number for most small businesses, for most businesses of any kind. And that's the reason why, and it's that way for every business, large businesses and small businesses. Your ability to grow is going to outpace your ability to earn profits to fund that growth. Let's talk about that for a minute, funding the growth. If you grow 10% a year, that's, believe it or not, that is really aggressive growth, 10% a year. And to sustain that, any kind of growth, 2%, 5%, 10%, to sustain that, let's say you're growing at 5%, but your profits are only, 2%. Well, you can't retain enough earnings to fund the growth, that 5%, because if you grow at 5%, that means you're increasing your accounts receivable that you have to fund, that you have to carry until your customers pay you. That means you have to have more inventory. You have to have more people, more infrastructure, more offices, more telephones, more all those things. And typically, most businesses, 99% of all businesses, maybe 99.9%, cannot earn profits fast enough to accumulate to fund the growth. So they've got to go to the markets. They've got to go to the marketplace for that capital, either to borrow it like you and I do at a bank, or to get investors like public companies do when they sell shares, or when they offer bonds. It's something that has to be done. The best plan, though, is to incorporate all three methods of capitalization. It's very simple. Leave every cent of earnings you can in your company and invest or borrow the balance of what you need to grow your business. If you want to own your own company free and clear of debt one day, you'll have to begin the long-term disciplined process of accumulating retained earnings and managing the other two, the investment and the debt, very well. Talk with your banker, talk with your CPA about the best combination of capital for you. And write this on a rock. Understanding the benefits of accumulating retained earnings is one of the most critical capitalization perspectives a small business owner can acquire. Don't get discouraged. It's a long-term process, but it is worth it. Quick break. Right back after these messages with Ron Zimke. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Your chance to wake up and plan another brand new.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.